Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy three-hour program lined up today. Ryan Kramer Sports Gambling Podcast, which you get every Friday night here on the network. In studio in 30 minutes. Early looks from him for the Super Bowl. Mike Somich, same coming up in an hour. ESPN Cleveland, Tony Rizzo in studio in 90 minutes. Did anybody want the Cleveland Browns job? And have the Cavaliers figured this thing out in the Eastern Conference? And we'll talk college basketball with Greg Peterson coming up a little bit later on. How are you feeling going into the first weekend without football? And, my God, 5 months.
Yep, no good.
No good is no the only good. Answer.
Did you give out heads to the to everyone yesterday? Is that your top play? Heads, 31-28 so far?
I think I put four toss? Units on that on vsin.com.
Yeah. A great story.
Spreading around every single account on that.
Uh-huh. I was at the Orleans 1 year, like 20 years ago, guys walking around. I love tails. I love it. And they asked him about the actual game. He goes, no, I just love tails for the coin toss. I think it was an 8-1 run in the midst of that when he gave it out.
Well, that's like how the national anthem betting has changed.
Yeah.
Right? Because many years ago, when did it actually turn into like 0.1% of the people who want to bet it actually can get down decent bets? Because was it 5, 6, 7 years ago?
Yeah.
It was when numerous people, including the one person I think in Florida who was a news reporter from one of the Florida stations, I think like in Orlando or Tampa, and he was outside the stadium and he timed it with video and he put it out and just it completely cooked any chance of anybody ever getting down at national anthem props ever again. But there was a time where, and I've told this story before, whatever year it was, 2018, 20, it was the biggest bet that I had the entire year that year in the NFL was on the national anthem, and I was able to get down on outs, and we were given the answers to the test.
Yeah.
We knew to the second how long the national anthem was going to be, and our source was right on that. And won a lot of money. Now it's not even worth looking at, in my opinion. Same thing with color of the Gatorade.
Yeah.
What can you really get down on some of these novelty props? $50, $100? Again, for the majority of people who want to actually try to make some money on it?
Well, going back to your first question, though, as we feel terrible here, it's because we love football so much, but at least the NBA's coming heavy Sunday. You have a Lakers, Knicks, OKC, Denver back-to-back in prime time, and the Joker is back, too. So that's at least a good job by the NBA on Sunday.
Do you think, with all of the injuries to Oklahoma City and the way that they've been trending now for a little while, with Joker back tonight, assuming that he is 100%, do you think the Nuggets can catch them in the division?
Yeah, they held it down. They're only 5 back in the loss column. Not only did Minnesota win last night, they boat raced them.
Killed them.
So they have done a nice job the last two times out against them. They're leaking oil. You survived this somehow without Joker. The other important takeaway is he's going to be eligible for awards. Keep an eye on that. And we've had a big move now. There's a 5-point move in the side and a 9-point move in the total with Joker being announced back in. And read Mackinnon every day, but Mackinnon's got a 24-4 trend in this game at VSiN.com.
Yeah. There's also, I would say this.
Your question. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, they're down to 30-1.
Yeah.
To win that division. I would say that as for betting Joker to win the MVP, I heard JV Team Stormy talking about this. Basically, he can't miss any more games because the game that he got hurt, as JVT was explaining on the air during Money Moves, is that he played fewer than 20 minutes in the game that he got hurt. Technically, that would not start as a start overall for him, but did they count it as a game played? If they do count that one, he could actually miss one more game. And then I saw the first book here in town. It's called Boyd, which is our version of FanDuel. They don't offer everything that FanDuel has, but they offer, probably half. They put Joker up at plus 550. I would need a much bigger number than that because you're basically gambling. You have two things here. He has to pretty much not miss a game for the rest of the year. Not one. And then he also has to play like he was for the first, 2.5 months of the season before he got injured. And then he has to surpass guys that are in front of him, basically, with the stats and everything that he put up in his absence. Plus 550, I can't get there, Pauly.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
I thought it was worth a consideration had he been like 25-1.
Yeah.
But
then more movement on other guys going down in the other direction as Luka keeps plummeting. Lakers with another loss, and Cade came down after Dylan Brooks with an out-of-body experience.
Guy, he is having that a great year, that
yeah,
dude, man.
What a performance. So another day to kick this stuff around. Did you find anything else, other more props or anything else interesting that may have caught your attention or eye? This one is New England. There's a lot of stuff pointed to New England, but this one's rough. Teams with a better winning percentage, 1-17 ATS. And that would point to Seattle, as the Patriots have a better winning percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And this was on X as well. This is offered. The only place I've seen it is the South Point. This is unbelievable. Will there be a roughing the passer penalty? No's $1.50. There's been two since 2010.
That's it?
I can't believe it. According to some people, fell off my chair with that.
Oh, I would have certainly guessed.
How can
that be? Give me the number that you would have guessed. Five?
At least more than that.
Probably, yeah. Probably like half of the games.
Yeah.
You'd get one?
Yeah.
Wow.
Imagine you actually bet that and they miss another shot to the head, which they've done all playoffs
No kidding.
With the officiating, but
Well, do you want to get the...
That's good.
Do you want to bet the minus 150 on the no then?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
There's also this, Mackinnon, the trends story is up right now at vsin.com over the last 20. A lot of this is pointing towards New England. Some of it points towards Seattle, but I'll give you the New England stuff as well first. You pointed that one out about the winning percentage, and that would go towards Seattle's way. But over the last 24 years, dogs are 18-6 ATS. That's 75%, including 14-4 the last 18. Dogs have been barking big time now. Last 20 years, dogs of at least 4.5 points are 12-2-2 ATS in Super Bowl 30. How about Vrabel? 29-16-2 ATS is a dog of at least 3 points. That was always a thing with him in Tennessee.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about it much this year with New England because how often were they a dog?
Mm-hmm.
The outright winner is 49-7-3 ATS. It's 87.5%. Highest mark of any playoff round. Again, that's just pick the team they think is going to win. And if you think Seattle's going to win the game, the favorites, you know, would cover a lot in that situation. In the last five matchups between 1 and 2 seeds, 2 seeds, that would be New England, 5-1 straight up, 4-2 ATS. Also, there's this. Mackinnon shares like a handful of his power ratings. One is called effective strength, bettors ratings, and his own power ratings as well. As he wrote, they all flag New England as an underpriced underdog in this game. And also, when you look at the DK betting splits, you want to fade heavy public sides. And at DK, as of now, the public all on Seattle. Also, there's this. Don't forget about this again. New England has not lost by more than a touchdown all year. So going back the last 24 Super Bowls, if you teased the dog on a 6-point teaser, they have covered 21 out of 24 games. That's 87.5% again. So you could tease, in theory, New England, and you could keep it open. You could maybe, I don't know if you want to tease it with basketball games. That sounds a little dangerous, but you could maybe tease it to the side. And I would think that you'd want to tease it under. So maybe New England plus 10.5 and under 51.5.
Well, the comeback is how concerned are we with May's injury and the flu?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I did notice that people in New England were retweeting that scramble that he had in the cold conditions last week in the snow when he was sacked and he brought down right on his right shoulder like that, directly on his right shoulder. And they were indicating that after that, he was obviously in some pain. And that's the hit that took place. Vrabel poo-pooed it, said everybody's going to be fine. Nothing to report on the injury report. Well, we'll see. I would assume that May's going to take a bunch of hits in this game because he has all year long and Seattle's defense is elite.
Well, most people think Seattle wins, and I know you got the ESPN kiss of death, too.
Let me hold on to that for a couple more minutes.
I mentioned that Monday, though, too. First thing I saw when I went up ESPN.com, who's going to win the game? Oh, my God. It's just it's a formality. Rock and roll. Seattle, no problem.
Well, I'll give you some angles here that point towards Seattle. Teams that allowed fewer points per game during the regular season are 9-1 straight up. And 8-2 ATS last 10 Super Bowls. That includes Philadelphia a year ago. The team that is the better playoff seed, only 2-17-2 ATS last 28 Super Bowl games. But in 2011, a bunch of those games through 2023, equal seeds matched up. That I think would, I think I have that wrong. That would obviously go towards New England. Teams, this is, I don't think this is talked about enough. We need to talk about this more next year in the NFL.
Oh, no, Seattle's a better seed.
Teams that.
Yeah,
no, they are.
Yeah.
But they're only 217 and 2 ATS last 28, right? Okay, teams that stopped third downs more efficiently in the regular season, 10-6. 10-6 ATS last 16 Super Bowl games. That's Seattle here. Third down conversions, man, that actually bothers me, and it has for a long time. Even when I don't have bets on games, it might be a team that I'm rooting for outright, or certainly if I have a bet on the game, when they can't get off the field on third down, and that was a killer to Green Bay several times in their playoff runs, specifically against the Giants. They could not get off the field on third down. Third eight, no problem. Third and 11, penalty, first down. Mm-hmm. It's like, guys, please force a punt. And it can be so aggravating when that happens over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Seattle was great against the Rams. And I love Paul Bovey, but I disagree with him yesterday. I just think they have a Rams problem. And the defense is nasty. And it's just hard to stop the number one offense. And I think the Seattle defense is for real. It's going to give May fits. They're going to put in a good performance in the Super Bowl with an excellent coach who has said the Tampa Bay game changed everything.
Have you pondered Seahawks Alts?
Alts, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, so I'll run that down then. The ultimate kiss of death with Super Bowl predictions. Several outlets on the same side. And you know what that means? This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Yeah, here's the ultimate kiss of death. And if you go back, they were even laughing at themselves. It was the Monday of the divisional round, right? Houston, was that the wild card round? Houston against Pittsburgh. That might have been the wild card round. Texans playing on the road against the Steelers on that Monday night. And every single person on the NFL Live show picked Houston to win outright. It was the New England game in the division round. That's what it was. Every single person picked Houston and they got it wrong. So every single person literally on ESPN.com that posted predictions so far in the game, like no joke, there's not one single person there picking New England. Everyone is on Seattle. So I did a Google search of other outlets and their predictions. Several people at The Athletic had predictions up on the game. Every single one picked Seattle. Same thing at USA Today. Every single person at USA Today picked Seattle. And I just stopped at that point. I'm like, why do I have to continue going down this path?
4.5-point spread. Nuts. The Houston thing was bizarre because they were underdogs.
Yeah.
When do you see that happen?
No kidding. So this is just every single spot that you look, you're getting the same thing. And most people say, pretty good chance it's not going to be close. Who's going to be the first person to come out and say, everybody's wrong, Patriots win this game outright?
Yeah. We're still waiting. I know. I'd like to see a strong case. But we might get all 11 people who said they voted against Belichick before that happens, the way we're trending here and how popular Seattle is.
You're exactly right, Paulie. For everybody to be on one side with Seattle. Like, is the point spread that far off? Should it be higher than 4? It's not. There's a betting market. It tells you 4.5 is pretty much where it should be. A 4.5-point upset is not that big of a deal. Hell, if you go back to the national title game, I was on the air saying, if Miami wins the game, it's not even that big of an upset. And they were, at the time, 8.5, 9-point dogs. They closed as like 7, 7.5. But still, had Miami won that game, not that big of an upset. That was 3, 4 points higher than this game. And yet, everybody's on one side. I hate to be on that same side.
Mm-hmm.
NBA tonight. So the Suns are on a back-to-back. That was pretty impressive what they did last night to Detroit. They killed them. That was never a game.
Vicious beat if you had the over. And Brooks was phenomenal with 40 points. as they beat Detroit. See how Detroit responds tonight in Golden State. This one is, and we'll see what T. Rizzo says coming up, but the Cavs are getting their act together. They are the worst team in the league ATS, but they're playing good ball. They just routed the Lakers. But it's hard, you know, some of the fan base say, get out of here with this with the luck factor. But they do have the fifth worst luck when it comes to shooting percentage outside the paint. So a lot of the shots aren't dropping, and they expect that to correct itself. But Mitchell's been phenomenal. And I would think on a back-to-back here, take the Cavs again. We had them against the Lakers, Cavs lane three against Phoenix. I think they're starting to figure this out, even with the Mobley injury and what they're going through. But Mitchell's been a beast. Awesome third quarter against the Lakers. And it didn't work out last night. But again, Phoenix has struggled offensively without Booker with a 15-point difference when he's in and out of the lineup. So I think the Cavs will win and cover tonight.
Grayson Allen, Colin Gillespie, they both went over their three-point props last night. And they're going to be juiced up there when Booker doesn't play. And the Cavaliers actually are down to 2.5 at many spots. I tell you, that feels like it's pretty tempting to me, but I wonder if it keeps coming down. Will more money keep coming in on Phoenix before tip time? At the website, vsin.com. You can go there every day. You get the Opta AI projections. It's vsin.com/NBA props. And they also have the NBA prop analyzer up there as well. It tells you how every player is done against today's prop number for them.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell projects to go under 31.5 against Phoenix tonight. Dylan Brooks projects to stay under 22.5. He's been getting 21, 22, 23. Like, he's averaging that this year. People are saying he should be an all-star now. And Sam Merrill also projects to go over his made threes, but he's about $1.65 in this game.
So Hunter is unhappy, and he wanted out. And if you go up to the prop analyzer, he's on a 7-0 under-run rebounds. He's on a 7-0 under-run points. And Tyson for Cleveland, 7 in a row over PRA.
Well, he's been good.
And 7 in a row over made threes. There's a lot of different ways to attack that game coming up in Phoenix tonight. And a lot of streaks going on.
Tyson can fill it up. That's why they're six back of the Pistons in that division. They're down to 6-7-1 now to win it outright. And with the Eastern Conference, just like the way it's been trending now pretty much the entire year, and it goes back to like speculation in the offseason that it could be completely wide open. If the Cavaliers are going to get fully healthy by the playoffs, of course they can win the East.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be as good as any other team there. They just have had so many injuries this year and so many games missed as a result. Did you want to do anything with this Lakers game tonight? Wizards, nice win last night at home against the Bucks. Won that game by 10.
Yeah, wrong team favored. Yep. I would think the Lakers come out in a foul mood after what happened in Cleveland. I mean, to get embarrassed like that on national TV and run out in the second half. So we'll see if Luka plays. He was listed as questionable. Reeves is questionable as well. That's a great start to have those guys back. And I would expect the Lakers to get whatever they want offensively in this one.
They're laying 9. Total is 228. Don't we think if both guys play that Lakers team total over?
Good luck.
Or maybe the game again here at 228?
Mm-hmm. Now, are we getting carried away because the Clippers are favored? Is it because minutes restriction? This power rating with the Clippers now, even though they've won 9 of 10, to be favored in Denver, and I know you don't have Gordon, but you're going to have Murray and Joker's back, Brown's out, but these young guys have played so well, and they held it down, as we said earlier, in place of Joker, that this is, I think they can lock down Harden and contain Kawhi and get the win here. The concern is the back-to-back. Boy, you good call. We missed one with Porter. Oh, damn it. Porter revenge game. He was phenomenal last night.
Had 7 threes.
Son of a gun. Yeah. What a night. What Flag did.
He dominated. Oh, last night was awesome.
Do we have seen that coming, too? That Flag and Knipple were going to go
each other?
I guess that was another angle, too. But Reed Mackinnon, again, 24-4 trend here to play the under. But we've seen a big move with the Joker announcement and a big move to the over and a big move. It's come down to like 1-2 now with the Clippers favorite on a road in a great game.
Well, what do you make overall? You asked the question.
No, I like Denver.
Edelman's done an amazing job.
Yes, he has.
I don't know if he can win Coach of the Year. He's been a long shot throughout, but how he was able to stabilize the team after Joker went down, and everybody's like, oh, this is going to be disaster time. And that was the exact opposite. To his credit, I mean, everybody was thinking they have a major depth problem, and that's going to be an issue with the on-off minutes for Joker come playoff time when they take on somebody like San Antonio or Oklahoma City. They actually they found guys now that can go out there and play, and I can't wait to see the dynamic now with Joker back. I think, Paulie, he's going to be a full go in this game. I don't think it's going to be like he's playing 18 minutes. I think he's going to go out there and give him like his normal minutes from what I've been reading anyway in this spot tonight. If that's the case, 2.5 feels like kind of a bargain here.
All right, do the Pistons respond? This one's tough, too. Golden State laying 2.5 at home. Curry, 6-1 under run. His points, rebounds, and assists. And we'll see if Detroit can get their act together after getting humiliated last night. I think the Pistons do bounce back. And the thing that let them down, which, you know, Brooks is out-of-body experience, it's the number two defense in the league and the number one defense since December 1st. So I would think they can contain Curry and lock down Golden State here and win this game after what happened last night and come right back with the Pistons.
Right. One thing on the Warriors for this year, or maybe like, well, not the offseason, but more like this year, I completely agree with the people now coming out and saying the Bucks cannot trade Giannis to the Warriors because their offer sucks.
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly where I'm at. You're not going to take Kuminga, Jimmy Butler, and picks down the road. That's a horrible offer. Who wants Kuminga? Steve Kerr is this great coach, right? Doesn't even play the guy after they gave him all that money. Butler is an eight. Like, I love Jimmy Butler's awesome, but he's going to be coming off the ACL now in his mid to upper 30s. I think not. Like, you, other teams could easily like beat that offer, in my opinion, to Milwaukee. I'll give you this again on the website. Projections for tonight. Kings are playing at the Celtics. There is a trend, by the way, going back for a long time. Celtics off a loss, play the opposing team total under. In this spot, it would be the Kings. But the website is projecting Precious Achiuwa to go over points and over rebounds. Plus, that would mean to fly over his combo of points and rebounds in this game. They're projecting him for 16-17 in this game tonight. Last check, it was around 13.5 here. But the Celtics are laying 12.5 in this game. Pritchard projects under 3.5 made threes. Hauser over 2.5 made. And the Grizzlies are playing against the Pelicans. I'm not going to get involved tonight with Cam Spencer like I did the other day. It's been a goldmine other than the other night since Ja Morant's been out, but the website is also projecting him under 8.5 assists tonight, but they are really hot and heavy on Zion Williamson to go over 22.5 points.
And the big one tonight, Michigan and Michigan State. This from Evan Abrams. Under Izzo, they've played 234 home games as a top 15 team. This is only the third time they're a dog. How about that stat? That's incredible.
Don't you...
Michigan, and there's been some support for the under on social media, but it's gone up. It's up to 147.5 tonight, the total of Michigan laying 1.5.
Ryan Kramer in studio coming up next. His early look at Super Bowl props, and I've been told he has a fun off-script angle on Belichick that's going to rile everybody up.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in here on a Friday. We are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Big fan of our next guest. He's the co-host of the Sports Gambling Podcast. You get their Friday edition every week right here on VSiN, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock out here on the West Coast. Ryan Kramer joins us in studio now. How are you, pal?
Oh, what a time to be alive. As someone who grew up in Jersey in the 80s and 90s, it's an honor to be sharing this Photoshop with the great Kramer from Seinfeld.
You know it.
Okay, so how many bets do you have in pocket as we speak?
I was just saying about a dozen probably. And what's the sad part is I got first bets I put in here were some first touchdown bets. I wanted to make sure the price didn't move on me. So we can start there. If you want.
No, not you fired on those already.
A couple, yeah. Not the whole card's not complete, but I did lock in a couple.
You did. Okay.
You want to get into it?
Sure. Yeah.
Because we can start with the big Marlin. Jack Westover game. He's 180-1 on the first touchdown. He's 45-1 on the anytime. If a team's going to get cute in this Super Bowl, it's going to be Drake May with the banged up shoulder and Josh McDaniels. Already fired on that. Don't want to miss out on the best number. And so, yeah, it's only going to get smaller from there.
Do you remember the fullback around 2018 who was blocking for Sony Michel and they played the Rams that year? His I can't remember his first name. Last name was Devlin.
Yeah.
Pat Devlin?
Okay.
Okay, Pat? So he, I believe, I went back and looked. I think he scored their first touchdown like three times that year, and I was making a case for him, and they got it down to the 1 yard line, and he's in the backfield. I'm like, here it is, baby! And they gave it to Michelle, and he gets in.
That's when you just want the setup.
Yeah,
you just want
right.
the setup and the sweat. And I think with Westover, I mean, he's running routes. He's out there. He's running routes. He's a part of the offensive game plan. And I think in this game particularly, they're going to have to do some fun stuff. It's going to be tough to run the ball. I think the defensive backfield for Seattle has an advantage over the receiver. So I think they're going to have, whether it's Hooper, Westover, we all like Henry. I think there's going to be some of that action. And so much like the Kyle Juszczyk first catch from a couple Super Bowls ago that right. I hit, mm-hmm. I could see a little run action where Westover leaks out into the flat.
So when you saw the first touchdown number at 180-1, you just gobbled it up. You're like, that's good enough for me? Or did you look around and it was the much better number?
We walked into the Circa and I saw it. And before we even had our breakfast at Saginaw's, I said, I don't want that price to move.
So okay.
We're in pocket.
Very nice.
What else you got?
So also Hooper, 50-1. So I've kind of locked in my, and there's some debate. I might go to six players for the Super Bowl just because there's so many good long prices. But I'm going with backup tight end, fullback, kind of weird angle. Seattle, I'm still working out the kinks. Want to see what the Arroyo news brings us next week before I lock in anything there. But yeah, that's what I'm doing on the Patriots side.
All right, excellent. How about a tip of the cap to our old friend Andy Isco with the Andy Isco angle, always in the Super Bowl. Explain what you're going to do with the first pass with each quarterback.
Yeah, so the logic is that you essentially take both quarterbacks to have an incomplete pass first. This year, it's 2-1 on both sides. So both quarterbacks are 2-1. And with the idea being, A, you only need one to hit to win. And two, well, you just look at their percentages. And what's crazy about this year is Drake May is only completing 55% of his passes in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Now, Sam Darnold's right on that two-thirds marker that 2-1 implies. But put them both in there. Add in the fact that I'm sure this Patriots team is going to get after Darnold and try to make it hot for him back there. I like this one a lot. I mean, also historically, it's been one that I think only two of the last 12 years has it double loss. So looking,
is that right?
Yeah, looking okay. for a banger here. I think last year was one of them, in fact. Yeah. But looking for a banger this year with Drake May with his banged up shoulder, not practicing. Surprised that we can get 2-1 on his first passing complete.
Good angle. I like it. Are you?
Well, shout out to Andy Isco, too. I feel like maybe 15, 20 years ago, he first bestowed this wisdom on us, and I've been playing it ever since.
Yeah, right. It was a great catch by him all those years ago. Let me ask you this. Do you try to align your props with who you think is going to win the game, or do you just shop for numbers?
Yeah, so I think old me would have sprayed the board inconsequentially, had all these different things, and you end up with the problem of too many outcomes need to occur.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm a little bit more like, let me figure out how they think the game is going to go, and then from there work backwards. And so, like many others, I kind of like the Seattle side. I kind of think this could get out of hand, so looking for stuff that lines in there. And I think some of the props that I threw over to you guys for today are kind of game flow agnostic. And I'll get into it, but basically similar to last week, it's running backs in the passing game. I think both defenses, that's their weakness. Both defenses, the linebacking core covering these, whether it's because schematically they allow you to have those catches or just that's a mismatch for the other team. So whether it's Helani at 9.5 yards, I like that over. Kenneth Walker that sailed over last week, four of the last five. He's at 23.5 now, was 22.5 last week. And then Ramondre at 21.5. The Henderson stuff is confusing to me. I look at his numbers and I see value with how low they are, but I also wonder, is he back in the doghouse? Like the snap counts last week were out of control.
That
so
was silly. I know
it's a tricky one to untie. So, and when the cowards decide to release a number, give me Jack Westover's receiving number as well. I'm guessing it's going to be a half. I'll take the over there.
You might get plus money on him to have a catch.
Yeah, I think it's going to be.
Right?
I already got down on Jake Bobo. Over a half yard is plus 150. I expect Westover to be that, but juiced even further up, maybe what? Like 3-1.
Why Bobo? He only had four catches the whole year.
Because you see what he does. And I think, again, they're going to get blitzed in this game. They're going to try to pressure Darnold. And I think whether it's two tight ends with Salbert, I know there's the sauce about Arroyo coming back. He's not really a blocker, but Bobo is kind of their second tight end a lot. They'll line up in that weird, not really 12 personnel because Bobo's on the line of scrimmage. And so just like with the touchdown we saw, And it reminds me of my Giants when they used to use that, the way they used David Tyree. Great blocker. Didn't catch a lot of passes, but in those big moments, guess what? Had a big catch, as we all remember. So, yeah, I'm going back to the well with Bobo. I'm sad. Last week, he was on the first touchdown card. The anytime was 20-1. I hope some people had it out there. But it ruined the price for the Super Bowl. So, yep, I don't think I can have him on my first touchdown card.
Did. Yeah. Thoughts on know somebody who had him at 28-1.
Yeah, how about that?
Well,
yeah. Opening kickoff, touchback, 3-1.
Yes. I think the angle here for me is, you know, I don't necessarily have a handicap of what the Seahawks will do, but I don't think the Patriots are going to want to kick to Shahid. And so I think, you know, if you can corner half of the market to think, well, that's going to turn into a touchback, then, you know, we're kind of taking a coin flip and getting 3-1 on it. So I like that angle.
Okay, let's talk this one out on the air. Number of players with a rushing attempt, over 7.5. Walker, Helani, Darnold, Shahid, Barner, Tush-Push, May, Henderson, Stevenson. Bang.
You got it. And there's not even the random one in there.
That's right.
We don't even
sweep
have
something, right?
A backward pass. We've had a couple controversial backward passes that end up being rushing plays. Yeah, I think that would be the dream, right? You get one of those wide receiver screens early. That's a backward pass, counts as a run. I like it. I mean, I think just in the realm of, you know, that and the passing, I like over 2.5 players to have a pass attempt. And I would also take the over here just because I do think at least the Patriots, Josh McDaniels is going to have a couple cute plays up his sleeve.
Agreed.
He knows that they're at a disadvantage in this one. And so, yeah, whether it's a jet sweep, whether it's, like we said, the screen, whether it's a fullback run or something like that, I like that to get over.
Well, let me ask you this. Are we positive here that Darnold's going to get a carry? I'm looking right now at the game log. He had 6 games, regular season and playoffs, where he did not have a single rush.
So the film bros would tell you this is a tough one for him because the interior pressure with Barmore and Milton Williams is going to make it tough for him to scramble like he normally does. But anytime you're going to sell out with a blitz, I think there are going to be opportunities for him. So you just got to hope he gets back to the line of scrimmage and it's not a sack.
Are you attacking the MVP board like first touchdown score? Or are you avoiding it or who are you grabbing so far?
Honestly, I have red pen circled around Darnold. The mismatch in the price between the money line and what he's getting. I understand you can talk yourself into JSN, but I would ask the question, last week JSN had a monster game. Does he get the MVP in that game?
No,
that was
that's
the Super Bowl. No.
No, Darnold.
And I think it's that same problem. If JSN has a big game, he's going to have 2 touchdowns and Darnold only have 2 touchdowns. So yeah, I think Darnold's the best value on the board for me.
How about if you like Walker to go over receiving yards, there's an angle here where he could maybe vulture in at the 2-yard line a couple of times, get a couple of scores. Even if he runs for like 50 yards, has 40 catching, couple scores.
I've gotten in my own head. I'm a little worried about the idea that they don't like his pass protection and they're going to be getting blitzed. And I wonder if Helani is going to be out there a little too much for him to have the volume. That being said, I do think big play potential is there. So maybe the better way to play Walker would be alt up his receiving yards and do something there. But yeah, I would be a little worried that Seattle has messaged that they don't necessarily trust him on all the downs.
Okay. It sounds to me like you're going to be betting Helani MVP then. Little James White action from years ago.
I mean, I certainly am going to play a Helani anytime touchdown. I think there's some value there.
Very good. And you definitely like the Seahawks then?
Yeah, I think so. Right now, Seahawks looking at the alts and probably leaning towards the under. So maybe an alt under with a Seattle alt might be in the books.
Okay, there you go. Follow him on X at Kramer Centric. Sports Gambling Podcast with Sean Green comes up on Friday nights here on VSiN, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. Awesome stuff as always. Great show that they put on. Thank you, pal, and we'll see you next week.
Happy Super Bowl, guys.
Back at you. Win, lose up next. Chaos Down Under. Paulie has the details here on VSiN.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Maybe you stayed up late. Maybe you woke up to an incredible tennis match. Joker plus 750 beat Sinner. Joker now 42-11 in the fifth set. Sinner 6-11. He saved 18 of 20 break points
He looked lost and lost the first two sets the previous match and somehow was a huge dog. There were 8-1s out there. He beats Sinner and takes on Alcaraz, who won after 5.5 hours in his marathon to start. So you had over 9 hours of tennis in the two men's semifinal. Joker, 25th Grand Slam final, I believe.
That's pretty decent,
something
I'd say.
Like that, 25th, going for his 25th title, whatever it is. The numbers are staggering. So Joker against Alcaraz coming up.
Hey, how about that? We put the hex on that earlier this week. Do you concur?
That's right, yeah.
Scheffler going to make every top 10 this year when he plays an event, or we get Alcaraz and Sinner in every single Grand Slam finale.
Yep. Rose, first round leader, 50-1. Is he going to run away with this? He's got a 6-shot lead.
I think we should be betting the no right now on him to win.
Doing an incredible job. Wolves, 2-1 on the money line. Denver Nets under, 216 down to 209. 107-103. James Madison, plus 220 in college hoops. Arkansas Little Rock, Tennessee State under, 156.5 down to 150. 70-63. 8 days in a row in hockey, there's been a hat trick. And home teams went 12-3. Last night. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in, we'll put you on. Dog and the Snowman. Is this the one where he grabs the carrot? There it is. Oh, no, it's a tennis ball. My fault. This is great where they said he's got 25 tennis balls in his backyard and in the house. Yet he's got to have the tennis ball, Mitch, makes up the snowman's eye.
He has to have that
tennis ball. And he's got to have that exact tennis ball when he's got a ton of them at home. Absolutely. Has to grab it, run it out, ruin the snowman.
You can appreciate the dedication.
Sure. Yeah. The other one was the dog's going for a walk, and he grabbed the carrot and just took it, which was supposed to be the nose of the snowman. Running around. I'll show that one Monday as well. That's awesome. Lose some. Bulls, Charlotte under, 230 down to 225, no good. Rangers. They've lost 9 in a row on back-to-backs, and they've only scored 9 goals. That's something else to follow. Vicious beats all over. First period over, VGK and Dallas. Dallas scored a minute in. Nothing the rest of the way. And then, of course, the game goes over, too. Utah allowed 3 goals in the last 2 minutes. Carolina became the third team in history to win after being down 2 goals in the last 2 minutes. San Jose led 3-0. They were up 3-2 with a minute left. Edmonton tied it and won. So San Jose in under 6.5. Vicious beats. Before the line moves, the sharp plays is already there. January isn't about volume. It's about precision. The playoffs are when limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. Advanced AI connected to proven insider sources. Locked in on the playoffs. The sharp plays helps identify where the sharp money hits before the number disappears. Free reports, alerts, and market moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. They've been at it since 2011. Jeff and the crew have been with Follow the Money since day one. Documented results, public logs, transparent receipts, sharpplays.com. Trusted by pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line this postseason. Visit sharpplays.com.
James Devlin was who I was looking for. Knew the last name, could not remember the first name. Hell of a blocker. That's who I bet on many years ago to be the first touchdown scorer. He was a huge price. Scored a couple times that year. I think first, actually, every time that he scored. And set up beautifully at the goal line. They gave it to Michelle instead, and he got in the end zone. In that low-scoring game, the Patriots play the Rams. And have you added many bets in the last 24 hours?
Just a few. Over 7.5 rush attempts. We were also making the case over 13.5 players to have a reception. That's not bad. Shortest touchdown under 1.5. Glenn and Quincy Mass, that's special. And you got to go both teams have a 33-yard field goal, too.
Do you want to bet that over at the Westgate? Both teams have a 40-yard field goal?
I was going to say that. Sherman added that, too. Yep. Is plus 210 enough?
Maybe
that's pretty good price. I don't know. That's unique. That's a new one, as he told us yesterday.
Supposed to have, although it's outdoors, supposed to have a nice weather day up in the Bay Area next week for the game. I just keep adding the same guy. And you did this earlier in the week, and I started to look around, and then, you know, we had Charch on yesterday, and that guy is Travion. I think we're all going to get burned on this at this point.
That keeps moving.
Why? It keeps going the other way. So I have, 4 bets on the guy already.
He's going to have a catch.
I looked around today. BetMGM goes to half a yard minus 110. I have to add that again.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he has 0 catches in the game, it's going to be nightmare fuel. But it's just right there in front of us.
God, that's why we love sports. I can't believe the comeback. To look that bad in the previous match, Sinner hadn't lost in 2 years in the Aussie Open. He wins a fifth set. That's the one, I guess, kryptonite for Sinner. And he comes back, and then you want to say, what does he have left in the tank? But then Alcaraz played 5.5 hours and set a record in his match.
Were you watching the match?
I saw a little bit of it, yeah. With the funky times, yeah.
So then what do you want to do in the finale now? Alcaraz is like higher than $3.
Uh-huh.
Do you think Joker has one more in him?
I don't think so. I don't think he can pull it out.
Do you want to lay a set and a half?
Yeah.
Alcaraz takes him down?
They're betting the dog in the women's against Sabalenka.
I know.
The other girl's very popular in that one.
Yeah, Sabalenka is not. Down. She's not a huge favorite in that at all.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think I saw, coming into the show, I think I saw like $1.60-ish. $1.65, I believe.
Yeah. So opening kickoff, touchback, 3-1. Oh, how things have changed. I just think it's kind of like with what Kramer said, that if it's New England kicking off, even though they have great special teams, I don't want any part of Shahid. Not to mention maybe they decide not to bring it out anyways. But that seems like a pretty good price, the 3-1 to start the Super Bowl off with a bang.
Yeah, you ran that by Bovey yesterday off air. And he's like, you know, these teams get super happy about kicking into that landing zone.
Yeah.
And trying to pin them. They try to kick it precisely like at the 2. And then they hope their special teams can actually get down there and like tackle them at the 18-yard line rather than giving the ball at the 35. I would want nothing to do with Shahid. I can't take that chance.
I know.
So if Seattle is going to receive here, anything but that. You don't want to start, and maybe, you know, a touchback, to run it all the way back is 80-1. It's very unlikely. But for him to take it back to the 44 or midfield, he's ultra-talented, and their special teams have been elite pretty much the entire year. Like, they really don't have a weakness at all. They are one of the highest DVOA teams in the history of that stat or the metric. That's how good Seattle is. And I know that, like, overall, for the entire year, you could point at, well, the running game hasn't exactly been there. I still have my doubts about Sam Darnold, yada, yada, yada. Well, Darnold was, maybe it's the Rams defense. Darnold was fantastic a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the running game has gotten better. So the special teams, certainly, you would think, if that comes and comes back to haunt Seattle, I think that would be a shock because they have been on point the entire year. And that in-season trade, this is why I think teams should go for it more. How strong of a trade was that for Seattle to go out there and have the wherewithal to think, we can add Shahid right now, and he'll make our special teams even better, and then we can design plays for him in the running game, and he might be a home run threat in the passing game as well. Guys like that can turn a really good team into, you know, a team that even has it. He could be the thing that puts him over the top and wins a championship.
We mentioned record breakers yesterday, and a couple viewers sent these to us as well. You can find longest Super Bowl rushing touchdown, 76 yards. Longest passing touchdown, 86 yards. They're 50-1. Will someone break Brady's record? 506 passing yards, 150-1. 216 receiving is 30-1. 205 rushing is 80-1. 15 plus receptions, 40-1. Who's got their Steve Young? Seven touchdowns.
Yeah.
Oh, 250-1. Oh, man.
Yeah, Young had 6 against San Diego back then. I would.
That was like 14-0 5 minutes in, wasn't it? Something that was crazy.
Paul, I think you could add multiple zeros to some of those bets that in the Super Bowl, I would not take them. This is not the Super Bowl to me where I want to be betting over on everything. Like, does it turn into a shootout between these two teams? That's Frank B's going to be on the show next week. I can't wait to ask him, does he prefer to bet unders on Super Bowls where the total is like 55? Like, would he have been on everything under if it was Rams-Patriots, for example? Or does he look at a game like this and say, that's 45.5, and there's a shot for this game to be 10-3? For a pro like that who thinks, you know, and wants nothing to happen in a game, I wonder where the head's at overall thinking something like that. Because you can get, like, the Eagles-Chiefs a couple years ago, on paper, that was going to be a shootout, and it was.
I know. You never know. It's just so funky. I watched the game last night, Patriots-Seattle. I mean, there's no score in the second quarter. Then it's 14-14 at the half, and somehow the first half goes over, and then you get the crazy interception and how it turned out.
VSiN host Mike Somich next. His best bets for the Super Bowl coming up here on VSiN.